chapter number 26. Book of Genesis and chapter number 26 is where we're going to draw our text from tonight. Praise God. I've enjoyed both of those songs right there. They lift up the Lord and they encourage God's people. Anything that exalts Jesus and edifies the body of Christ, I'm all for it. Praise God. That's good. That ought to. Somebody said that right there, make a dried up Presbyterian shout. Yeah, amen. I didn't know you was a Presbyterian, Brother Michael. Oh, okay, amen. Genesis chapter 26 tonight, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 12. And we'll read two or three verses of scripture here, but naturally like normal, don't shut your Bible on us because we'll be preaching through some verses down through this chapter tonight. Genesis and chapter 26, I hope it don't take you as long to find Genesis 26 as it did for us to find Hosea this morning, amen. Hosea is a little more obscure than Genesis. Hope everybody knows where this one's at. Genesis 26, verse number 12, if you found your place with me, somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible said, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now I want you to notice verse 15 with me. Don't miss it. It is the springboard for the message tonight. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, notice the last clause of the verse, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Verse 16, and Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence, pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. He called their names after the names by which his father had called them. I'm interested in what the Bible says in verse 15. It said in the last part of the verse that the Philistines had stopped these wells and filled them with earth. In other words, they threw dirt in these wells of the son of Abraham called Isaac, the promised seed. I want to preach to your heart tonight, especially you and I, members of the Bible Missionary Baptist Church. I'm preaching right at us this evening, and I want to preach on this thought. Don't let the devil put dirt in your well. Don't let the devil put dirt in your well. Most of Genesis chapter 26 focuses on not just Isaac, but it focuses on and centers around water and wells. Over and over again from verse number 15 all the way nearly to the end of the chapter, it's going to focus on water and wells that are being dug in this environment, in this climate, in this land of the Philistines here, in this region of Gerar, where Isaac now resides and calls home. It is a hot, arid, dry, desert, rocky-like climate. A well and water is a premium commodity in an environment like this. To have a well, to have a place that you can draw water from at will and get some cool, clean, clear, crisp water for your animals and for yourself is absolutely something that you have to survive. You will not survive in a land like Isaac is living in without some water. And you can't just rely on streams and creeks and little riverbeds, because there are times throughout the year in these climates and in these places where the streams and the creeks and the rivers will dry up. There'll come times where there'll be some drought. There'll come times when the heaven will lock its rain showers up, and these riverbeds will go dry and go dusty. And the only thing that's going to get somebody like Isaac and his family through this hot, barren wasteland that they live in is a well. Now, I want you to understand something about a well. A well in these days was a place where you could get rest at. If you'll go back and study some pictures and look at some period era wells from these days, most of the wells, Brother Carl, they would actually build shelters over the top of them that would provide shade in the heat of the sun. And so when they walked to these wells, it was a place that had rest and relaxation written all over it. I mean, brother, when you're standing out in the heat and you can see, you know, the heat waves rising off the ground, and that haze comes and that humid air is blowing, to look up and to see a well, but not just a well, to see a shelter over a well, man, that just got the picture of rest on it. I can kick back in the shade, draw some cool water up, the breeze will blow through, and I can get some rest. I'm heading somewhere with this, just stay with me. It's not just a place of rest, it's also a place of refreshment. It's also a place of reviving. It's a place where when your throat is parched and your lips are cracked and your body just craves something to drink, man, you can slide in there, let that bucket down, draw it back up, and just one big pretty bucket of water, you can grab it at will with a double handful or with a dipper, and ain't nothing better on a hot day than some good cool water. Yeah. Look, I love sweet tea. I do. I'm from the South. I was preaching in Kansas this past week, and I went in a restaurant, ordered sweet tea, and they said, well, we have tea, but we've got sugar you can put in it. That ain't sweet tea. You can't make tea the right kind of sweet after you've already made it bitter. Amen. Yes, amen right there. Listen, let me get off on a tangent here real fast and say this. If you drink unsweet tea, you might as well drink muddy pond water this evening. There ain't nothing good about unsweet tea. Blessed fired muddy pond water is what it is. I love sweet tea. I do. But y'all know me. I love cheer wine. That's why I love Brother Charlie. We kindred spirits. He works for cheer wine. I drink cheer wine. So we get along real good this evening. But brother, there ain't nothing better on a hot day when, brother, I mean, you are sweated down and you need some refreshment than to get you a big tall glass of cool well water. I don't mean that city tap water. I can't stand that garbage. It tastes like chlorine, tastes like they put Clorox in it. I mean, when I grew up, Brother Jimmy, we had a shallow sand well. And that sand well, literally, you put water in your glass and hold it up to the light, you can see sand floating in it. That don't bother me none. I come from the dirt. It don't bother you to drink just a little bit of dirt. Ain't nothing more refreshing nor reviving to the hot, parched heart and life than to get some fresh well water. Here we find these wells are dug into the earth. They're dug in the world. They're dug in the earth, and it helps everybody that passes that way tonight. Say, summarize this all for me, preacher. All right, I believe I will. Tonight, I believe these wells in the life of Isaac, they are a picture and they are a type of the church of the living God, of the assembly, of the people of God. When we meet together and we worship God together in a place like this, in spirit and in truth, brother, this is a well in a hot, dry, barren wasteland. This is a well in a dirty, filthy, nasty world. And listen to what I'm going to say. You are not going to make it as a Christian. You are not going to survive very long in the drought-ridden hot day that we live in spiritually unless you have a place that's a place of rest and a place of refreshment and a place of reviving where you can slide in a couple of times a week. And spiritually, you're like what David said in Psalm 42, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You ain't gonna make it very long without having an oasis in the wilderness like this, where you slide in, lower your bucket of your soul down in the well of the Word of God, and the well of the worship of God's people, and the well of the witness. midst of God's servants and draw up some cool, clean, crisp, refreshing water that can help you go back out in that world and face another day this evening. You mark this down. I'm preaching tonight on don't let the devil put dirt in your well. Talking about the church. Talking about our local assembly this evening. Mark this down. We find it in the text. Anytime you start digging and doing something for God, the enemy will show up and try and clog it up.
Oh, yes, sir. Sure will, preacher.
Anytime that you start digging and doing something for God that is given a good, cool drink of the water of the Word of God and the water of life to save sinners and lost sinners, mark it down, the devil is lurking around looking to chunk a bucket of dirt right down in your well. You don't never, look, I know we just come out of revival. That's why I'm preaching this. The Lord put this thing on my heart last week or the week before. I can't really remember. And I wrote it down in my Bible. And I'm telling you, I hate to be the killjoy on revival, but that just seems to be my lot most of the time. I hate to be the one that's going to bring us back down to earth, but that's just my lot, and that's where I'm at tonight. But you mark this down. After what we've seen in this place and what God's been doing around here and how God's been blessing in this place and how the souls has been saved and the baptismal waters have been stirred, and the young people getting on fire, and you senior folk and the soaring saints are getting help in your Friday night class, and Joshua Circle getting help, and the young ladies getting help, and the young men, the men getting help, and all these classes and the ladies get a, mark this down, there is an enemy out there that he's got a bucket of dirt and he's wanting to throw it right smack dab in this well, so there is no rest, there is no reviving, there is no refreshment, and you come in here next dead or deer's bird's nest, and God don't move, and people don't get help, and lives don't get changed, and the Christian doesn't get challenged. He wants to throw dirt in your well tonight.
Yes, sir.
This is our well. This is our well.
Yes, sir.
He wants to throw a bucket of dirt in it. We find here the Philistines, it said, had stopped the well in the days of Isaac here. Listen to what I'm saying. This is what the Bible said in verse number 15 or 14. Did you notice why they threw the dirt in there? Did you notice why they threw the dirt in there? Look at the last part of verse 14. And the Philistines envied him. Can I tell y'all something tonight? The devil envies you.
Amen.
He don't just hate you, he also envies you. You say, why would the devil be jealous of me? Because you got something he wants. You say, what do I got the devil would like to have? Well, the devil don't got no joy. The devil don't got no peace. Look here, the devil don't have any redemption. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said this in the book of Peter. The Bible said when the preaching of the cross and the gospel happened and the Holy Ghost moved into your life, this is what the Bible said in Peter. It said it's something that the devil, or not the devil, said something the angels desire to look into. The devil is an angelic being. I believe that the devil looks and wants to look into it and say, how is it that they have joy sometimes when everything's going wrong? How is it they can keep singing and serving and living for God when all the chips are stacked against him? He envies and hates the church of the living God, and he'll try any way he can to mess it up for everybody in here and throw dirt in our wells. Listen to me. Don't let him this evening. Let's keep the water springing up around here. You say, how do we do that? We do it by keeping our own heart right. We do it by seeking the face of God in prayer. We do it by keeping our life clean with the water of the Word of God. We do it by fellowship, and we do it by showing up and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. We do it by going and telling others and being excited and bringing them. Listen, tonight, let's not lose what God's doing at Bible Missionary Baptist Church. I can't tell you, listen to me, y'all. I cannot tell you tonight, when I look around here, and especially looking on these front rows, brother, and watch how God has filled these front rows up with young people. Watch what God's doing with the juniors. Seeing these young people shout and raise their hands. Listen, I'm going to tell all you young folk, don't let the devil throw dirt in this. Don't let the devil throw dirt in your well. I'm telling you what the devil would like to do is get all of you off the front row. He'd like to get all of you upset and mad at each other and mad at God. He'd like to get all of you eyes off of something else in the world and steal your joy and rob you of your excitement. Don't let him throw dirt in our way. It's precious. It's important. It's powerful. You know who can help with some of that right there? You mamas and daddies can help with things like that. You older saints of God can keep fanning the flames of things like that. It's up to us to make sure the devil doesn't throw dirt in our well tonight. This well is special. This well is special. Why is this well special? It's not just special for the here and now. It's special because I want other generations and future generations down the road to experience what we experience. Oh yeah, there are some that have come, and there's more that I believe that's coming. And I want to make sure that when they get here, the well is still springing up so that they might enjoy it. Look, I thank God for the generation of young people we got in here scattered all throughout this church tonight. I thank God for this generation of young people, but y'all listen to me. In 10 years, they won't be the young people no more. So for some of them, in 5 years, they won't be the young people no more. They'll be married, and they'll be either moved on, or hopefully they'll still be here, but they'll be the adults in the church and things of that nature. Listen to me. There's got to be another generation that follows on behind them that sees the importance of this and watches this. Brother, I'll tell you what. I got so blessed here preaching in Delaware. Brother Skim, Brother Keith, Brother Ken, and some of his boys went with us, and we was preaching up there. I was preaching in Delaware at that youth rally, and man, I got to watching old Brother Allen Ryan. And that old preacher, he's been over there at that church for 30 plus years. God put him there over 30 years ago. He gave his life to that ministry, and now he's got boys that are preaching and daughters that married preachers, and they're still working and serving, and some of them are still in that church. And now he's also got grandchildren that are singing and preaching and serving God. And I looked at that old man. I was sitting over on the side of the tabernacle there where we was at, and brother, I got to crying, and God got to helping my heart. And I looked up there at that old man, and I watched as his grandchildren are worshiping, and then his children are in the choir worshiping, and they're grown. And son, I prayed this. I did. I ain't told nobody, but I'll tell y'all tonight. I sat there and I prayed. I said, Lord, if you tarry, you're coming. Lord, if you tarry, you're coming. Please let me live to be an old man like that, and to be able to watch my grandchildren grow up and serve God and live for the Lord. That's what I want. You say, how does that happen? It happens by keeping the well sprung up. It happens by keeping the dirt out tonight and keeping the devil away from what we have. All right, that's all the glory I got for you tonight. Now let me give you my 3 points. They're less glorious than the introduction was. How do we keep the devil from putting dirt in our well? Why was it that Isaac got dirt put in his well? I'm going to preach to you tonight some words of warning to all of us of how to keep the devil from putting dirt in our well. The truth is tonight, sadly, I have seen many good wells put out of commission. Amen. Churches that used to be just like this one ain't like this no more. The well is totally out of commission. Devils throw dirt all in it. Muddied the waters, messed it up, and they don't have nothing no more. So how do we keep the devil from putting dirt in the well? We find some helpful things in the life of Isaac. We find some times of how the devil or the Philistines put dirt in his well. Let me say, number one, dirt can get in your well when you are preoccupied. Dirt got in his well because he was preoccupied. You say, what's he preoccupied with? Well, look at chapter 26, verse number 1. Look at chapter 26, verse 1. The Bible said, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. The Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of, sojourn in this land. God told him to sojourn in it. Don't hang out here forever, just you're passing through. And I will be with thee and bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I'll give all these countries, and will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. God told him just to sojourn, but watch what he does. Verse 6, and Isaac dwelt. He put tent pegs down deep. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. What had him preoccupied? Well, there was a famine that had him preoccupied. You say, what's a famine? It's something that happens in the world. Yes, sir. A famine is something that happens when there's a rain shortage, a food shortage, and the world goes crazy. Here's a man that he is the child of the father of faith. And instead of living by faith Instead of, listen to me, instead of just staying by his well, instead, Brother Cliff, instead of him just staying by his well and being vigilant to keep the well clean, instead, he gets his eyes looking around on what's going on in the world. And when he gets preoccupied looking at the famine in the world, he runs into the arms of the king of the Philistines this evening. He is more worried about what's going on in the world than he is what's going on at his well tonight. I want everybody to understand something this evening. Every child of God in here ought to be more concerned about what's going on at the well than what's going on in the world tonight. Y'all realize the Bible said the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But this right here is something we're going to be doing in heaven one of these days. Mark it down. You look at your King James Bible in the New Testament. The most important thing to God in the New Testament is the assembly, the church, the called out assembly. The most important thing to God in the New Testament is not baseball and softball and football and basketball and the movies and soccer and all that. The most important thing to God right now in this age, yes, and dispensation, sir, is the church of the living, yes, God tonight. And God help us when we become more preoccupied with things out there in the world than we are with things right here in the church. You say, how can you tell when we're getting more preoccupied with stuff out there than we are in here? I tell you a good indicator. We live in this Facebook era, in this Facebook generation. I watch some people that are members of this church, and they post that 24/7. All they posting is political stuff, political stuff. And I get revved up about that too. You know me. But post only political stuff, and never one time do they ever make a post from Bible Missionary Baptist Church inviting anybody to church. And then claim, I love my church, I love my church, and my church, and my church, and I love my church. If you did, you might try and put it on Facebook so people might come.
Yeah.
Say, what is that? That's a preoccupation with what's going on in the world. Did y'all notice something this morning? I didn't say one thing about politics this morning while I was preaching. I don't have to. The Word of God's so good, I don't have to preach on politics all the time. I preach about Jesus and Jesus saves, and that's the most important thing in this world this evening. I'm talking about be careful when you get preoccupied with the world this evening. All you young people in here better be careful. The devil will get you more preoccupied with fun and friends and fortune and education and all that stuff than what's going on right here at the church.
Yes, sir.
I want to back up and say this. I thank God with everything that's in me. Brother Bill, I thank God that I had a mama and a daddy. I didn't always want to, and I didn't always appreciate it then, but I appreciate it with every fiber of my body now. I thank God I had a mama and a daddy that they didn't build the church around their life. They built their life around the church this evening. If it was happening at the house of God, they was there. If it was going on at the church, they was there. And you know what the funny thing is? There's a lot of parents want what my mama and daddy got without doing what my mom and daddy did.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Brother, if you want the results of what mom and daddy got, you might want to try employing what mom and daddy did. Make much of the church. Make much of the house of God. Make much of the people of God. Make much of the Word of God. And watch God keep the well blowing and a-going this evening. Be careful about getting preoccupied, putting too much attention on what's going on out yonder. I say this to you too. They were not only preoccupied with famine, but he was preoccupied with family. Preoccupied with family. Look what happens when he gets down here in Gerar. The Bible said in verse number 7, watch your text, verse 7. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and she said, she's my sister. For he feared to say, she's my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she is fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how saidst thou she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her, so on and so forth. Here in the text, I don't know which way it is, but one way or the other, either Isaac is keeping Rebekah from the well, or Rebecca is keeping Isaac from getting back to the well. Or both of them don't really have a desire to get back to the well. They're just comfortable living down here in the land of the Philistines. Now, I want to say this to all you eligible bachelors and bachelorettes in here, and especially all these young people that's getting of marrying age and headed that way. I have told you this, and I will tell you this yet again. The number one problem plaguing saved young men and saved young women from being all they can be from the Lord is they marry incorrectly. They marry a girl just because she's pretty and she's good looking and they like her personality, but she has absolutely no desire for the things of God whatsoever. And you watch, after a little while, they'll be out. They'll be half-hearted, half-in, half-out, and some family relationship throws dirt in the well. Or she marries and hooks up with some dude, but he's a good-looking dude, and he's a hard-working dude, and that's all fine and well, but he has no desire for the church, and no desire for spiritual things, and after a while, they're out.
Yep, you're right.
Tell you what y'all better do. Y'all better stay by the well.
Yeah, man.
Stay by the well and say, God, I'm right here at the well, and when you get ready to send me somebody, I'll be at the well. And God, you know where I'm at. Send them to the well. You say, preacher, I can't meet nobody if I just hang out in the church. Yes, you can. And if you can't meet them there, you don't need to meet them this evening. Just wait on God. Watch God's timing this evening. Preoccupied, too preoccupied. That's why the well, he's out there messing around in the world, and the whole time he's out here getting preoccupied. Y'all know what's happening while he's preoccupied? The Philistines putting dirt in his well back over yonder. Be careful about being preoccupied. They were preoccupied. That's why the dirt got in the well. Can I say not only when you get preoccupied, you can get dirt put in your well. But then we find when we're petty, when we are petty. Say petty, yeah, that's an old word, you know, like things that don't matter. Making big deals over things that don't matter. When we get petty, we leave ourselves open for an attack for the devil to put dirt in our well. Look at what happens here later in the chapter. Come down, if you will, to verse number 19. Verse number 19. Watch what your Bible says in verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Now watch it. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. It's not your water, it's my water. And he called the name of the well Esek. The word Esek means contention. He called the name of the well contention, Esek, because they strove with him. They dig another well, strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. The word Sitna means hatred. Here we find, while they are getting petty over whose well it is, fussing and fighting, jockeying for position about whose well this is, the Philistines are over there throwing dirt in it. While they are being contentious and while they are starting to hate one another, they have left themselves wide open to an attack of Satan this evening. Listen to what I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you something. I know this ain't glory, can't mean preaching, but brother, this right here is what will keep the dirt out of our well at the Bible Missionary Baptist Church.
Right.
Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. The devil loves to use petty fights and petty, meaningless arguments in the church to dirty the well up. It ain't worth it. If it's not something unscriptural, immoral, or illegal, brother, if it's just some, well, you know what they said about me. Well, you know what their kid did to my kid. Well, you know how they didn't ask me to do this. Well, you know they asked them to do this, they didn't ask me to do this. Listen, that is not good cause for wrecking what God's doing.
Yes, sir. You're right, preacher.
That's insane. I'm telling you what, more churches have been destroyed over petty arguments that don't make a lick of sense than liquor or drugs or women.
Yeah.
When I mean women, I mean like a preacher getting messed up with a woman. Then more churches destroyed over just petty, goofy stuff.
Yes, sir.
And look here, it ain't just adults that happens to. All you young people been here better watch yourself too. Because what happens is, look, let me just cut it right down here. I'm going to talk to all y'all here for a minute. I didn't mean to preach so much to young people, but I'm going to do it. I got a message coming up for the older folk that I can help y'all with here before long. But I'm going to preach these young people here for a second. Let me say this to all you young people. I know all y'all, you know, y'all got boyfriends and girlfriends and y'all liking each other and all this. And that's a wonderful thing. Thank God. I'd rather you find your mate here than find it out there. I just got done preaching on that. But hey, ain't none of y'all married yet. They ain't a ring on nobody's finger yet. It ain't time to get super possessive yet. And that's mine. Stop talking to her and stop talking to him. Brother, that right there is the kind of thing that'll sow division, derision, and discord in the youth group. If it happens, stop it. Stop it. It ain't nobody's husband or nobody's wife. I mean, Brother Leah, just live for God and wait on God to fix all that stuff. Look here. I'm telling you, when it comes to the youth group, they ain't no big eyes nor little U's. What we need is a bunch of folk that include everybody in it together.
Yes, sir.
You see somebody left out or somebody on the fringe, hey, won't you come over here with us? Won't you get on? You say, why? Because trust me, it is petty stuff just like that the devil will use to mess this up.
Yes, he will.
I have seen more churches destroyed over petty things. See what happened here? The petty things. This is how it started. Watch it. Don't miss it. Did you see the progression? It started as Esek contention. It just got a little contentious. This is what happens first. It just gets contentious. Just kind of gets contentious. But after the contention, if you don't straighten that out between your brother and your sister in here, this is what it turns into. It turns into hatred.
Yes, sir.
You know how hatred is manifested? Hatred is different than contention. Contention is something where it's just between the two of you. You can straighten that out real quick. You know how contention, what happens when it turns into hatred? It turns into this. Let me tell you about Hunter Blackwell. That's when you know it turns into hate in the heart. When it turns into trying to destroy someone and destroy somebody's character over petty, goofy stuff. Oh yeah, brother, I'm telling you what, I know it's a little bit quiet and I like it just like that. Praise God, that's all right. I'm talking about petty issues. It goes from contention into hatred this evening. Contention into hatred this evening. I tell you what, one of the goofiest things I ever saw in a church. I saw a guy literally get tore up and messed up about this during a church business meeting one time. Which, by the way, I'll say this illustration here. Which, by the way, that's one reason we don't have normal, regular business meetings. When we need business, we'll talk about business. But until then, there ain't no sense in having a business meeting just so somebody can say, well, I think they do this and I think they do that. And then we get in a big fuss with each other. That's crazy. That's crazy. It ain't Bible. We ain't doing it. When we need business to talk about, we'll call business meeting. Let the church vote on it. Until then, there ain't no new business because we ain't brought none up. Anyways, and I watched this happen. This literally happened. They sat there. My preacher got up to the pulpit and said, look, we had a little small church. If you ever come to our church in Georgia, Brother Keith, Brother Kent's been there. I don't know if anybody else has ever been there or not. It's a little bitty church out in the country where I come from. Just two rows of pews that ain't even as long as this section right here if you cut it in half. And we got a door in the back, and there was a side door right here. And this, I'm talking about a guy literally got ripped off and left the church over this. Brother Chad, I mean left the church over something petty like this. There was a side door right there, and preacher would be up preaching or teaching Sunday school. And right in the middle of it, folk would show up. You know, they had either something to do or they just showed up late or whatever. That's fine. But they wouldn't go to the back door and come in. They'd walk right in the side door, like right there, and it'd break everybody's concentration. Like, I mean, all of a sudden everybody would go,
yeah.
Now, you can just write off anything the preacher said for the next 5 or 10 minutes. It's gone. It's gone. My mind would be broke. Your mind would be broke. It's gone. So preacher said, look, how about we do this? Soon as church starts, let's lock the side door. From the inside, mind you. Let's lock the side door and put a sign on it saying use the other door. And this cat literally stood up in business meeting this way and said, preacher, I don't think we're gonna lock that door. Preacher said, okay, why? He said, because a fire might break out. It's locked from the inside, mind you. It's not locked from the outside.
Right.
He said, a fire might break out. He said, yeah, a fire might break out. And you know how people are. They'll start panicking, and they won't be able to get out. You telling me somebody going to lock that door from the inside, a fire going to break out, and then you going to run to the door and say, let me out! Let me out! I can't get out! Burn to death! And then the fire department shows up and said, I don't know why they burnt to death. They locked themselves in.
Amen.
Preacher said, well, brother, I appreciate your info, but we ain't going to do that. We're going to lock the door because it's distracting people. I believe folk are smart enough they can unlock the door. That dude got ticked off, stormed out, and didn't come back. That's stupid.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, it's ignorant. I'm talking about that's the kind of stuff the devil used to throw dirt in our wells if we're not careful this evening.
Amen.
Be careful about the petty stuff the devil will use to throw in your well and my well. I'm talking about this. That's the kind of stuff that gets thrown in tonight. We're not, here the Bible said this about it. Did you notice this? Look at the last part of verse 20. It said they called the well Esek, or contention. Watch the last part. Because they strove with him. We are not called to strive against each other. You know what it's called to do? Turn to Philippians 1:27. Hold your place here. We're going to come back and conclude the message. But go to Philippians 1:27. Said they strove with him. We're not called to strive against each other. Look, this is what we're called to do. Philippians 1:27. Watch your text. Watch the Bible. Philippians 1:27. We're not called to strive against each other. We're called to strive together with one another. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. Watch it. They're not striving against each other. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. He said, I'm telling you, church, you're not called to strive with your brother and strive with your sister. You're called to strive together so that God gets the glory this evening. Amen. We're working together in this thing.
Yes.
I said earlier, but it's truth in the church. There ain't no big I's and little U's. We are called to strive together in this church so we might see it grow for the glory of God. Go for the glory of God. So God might be pleased with it this evening. So I'm done here. We're back to Genesis 26. How does the devil throw dirt in the well? Well, he does it when we're preoccupied. He does it when we're petty. But lastly, I say this. Thank God we can stay purged. We can stay purged. We can keep our well clean. Look at how Isaac gets the well clean again. Yeah, it gets dirt in it, but don't stay that way. If you back to Genesis 26, look what your Bible said in verse 18. Genesis 26:18. I love this. Watch what it said. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them. You see what he does? He goes back to them wells and he says, I'm not satisfied with the well being clogged up. I'm not happy with the well being clogged up. What was passed down to me from my forefathers, we're going to spring the well up again. We're going to dig the dirt out again. Can you imagine they started digging that thing out? About that time, that water started sprouting up. That good, clear, cool water started getting in that bucket. Brother, I'm telling you, they had water again. And this evening, brother, I'm telling you, thank God that God can get the dirt out. God can let us get purged. And God can help us get our heart clean. If you're sitting here tonight and there's been some preoccupation or some pettiness or whatever the devil's trying to use to throw dirt in your well right here, I tell you the best advice I can give you. Let's get in the altar. Let's say, God created me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Keep my heart right with my brothers and with my sisters. Keep my heart right with the church and the pastor and the people. God, I want the well to keep flowing. I want the well to keep springing because I've got to have it this evening. Got to have it, got to have it. We can't make it without it. The well's got to stay clean. I say this and I'm done. Esther, come help me over here on the piano. It's not just enough. It's not just enough to make sure that we keep water flowing. We got to make sure it's clean. Y'all, there's all kind of churches in this area. And they got excitement. And I thank God for excitement. I love me some excitement. Y'all know I do. Y'all, Brother Michael, I shout to drop the hat and drop my own hat. Y'all know me. I run, I shout, I run on the pews. I like it. I like all of it. I'm that kind of person. But Brother Danny, I ain't wanting shouting and rejoicing all that at the expense of holy living. I don't believe we have to have an either or. I believe we can have both. Brother Hyde, I believe it's not. Well, if you're a worshiping church and a shouting church and really getting with it, then you know, you just kind of got to let things go and just, you know, people going to be people. Or say, well, we're going to try and be holy and try and be clean, try and live right and do right and dress right and talk right and act right. But, you know, then it's going to be dead. I don't believe that. I believe we can have, and I believe we do have a church tonight that longs to be clean and also keep the water running. Y'all, I'm telling you this evening, this is a message of warning, friend. I'm telling you, the devil is waiting right around the corner to take a great big bucket of dirt and just chunk it right in the middle of our well. You mark it down, friend, I'm telling you. I'm not ignorant of the Satan and his devices. I've been around and watched him do it. Don't let him do it. keep the dirt out of our well. So how do we do it? Well, I can't keep the dirt out for anybody but for me. You can't for anybody but for you. What we can do, though, is all of us together say, Lord, I'm going to stay right, and I'm going to trust they're going to stay right, and they're going to stay right, and we're going to all stay right together and watch God keep the dirt cleared out of our well. Help us tonight. Let's all stand tonight. Don't let the devil put dirt in your well. It's too valuable. Well's too important. Well's too precious. We got to have it. We got to have it. This is the most important thing going on in the county. Outside of any other Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist churches in the county, this is the most important thing happening in the county right now. Nothing else happening. It's any more important than what's happening right now. Father, I pray you'd bless the simple message from the Word of God. Lord, you birthed this thing in my heart over a week ago. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd take it, break it, bless it, use it. My little 5 loaves and 2 fishes I had, I pray you'd make it go farther than I can. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name we ask and humbly pray all these things. Amen. Sing for us, Esther.